We're talking today with John Maswell. Of course, he's the Director of Governmental and International Relations for the Canadian Cattlemen's Association. John, you're here at the Cattle Industry Convention here in Nashville, and we're seeing, obviously, the Farm Bill signed into law this week. No fix regarding country of origin labeling from the rule that was established last May by our U.S. Department of Agriculture. This is a rule that I know that your organization and the Canadian government take a close look at. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, for us, it's more of the same now, you know. So basically, there was a missed opportunity to do something to resolve the issue. It's status quo, so we're going to continue on our path, which is back to the WTO. That process started back in September, where the compliance panel, they call it, was composed. Since that time, there's been submissions of the written briefs. There's now an oral hearing that's going to be in about 2 weeks from now. And then, well, I guess we'll probably wait about 4 months to get a ruling on that.
Now, you're obviously consulting with your government, your association is. What's the problem, or what is the things that you see wrong with this USDA rule from last May?
Right. Well, not only what we see wrong with it, but what the WTO sees wrong with it is that it creates the requirement. Really, that packers and people who buy cattle in the States have to segregate imported cattle, keep them separate from U.S. cattle, have to manage them separately so that ultimately they can be labeled differently, the meat can be labeled differently. That really was the essence of what the WTO concluded was wrong with the COOL. I know people here have tried to suggest that there was another issue that somehow was addressed by this regulation that was changed, but if you actually read the ruling and see what it's about, it's hard to conclude that the U.S. is now in compliance with this change that was made.
Obviously, with the World Trade Organization, it's a kind of a slow process. But at the end of the day, if their ruling stands, and they say that this is not in compliance, there is the potential of retaliation. What sort of retaliation would you have? You know, would you envision the Canadian government agreeing to?
Yeah, you know, that's the unfortunate conclusion of these things. That's what's waiting at the end of these disputes if countries can't agree to resolve them on their own. The Government of Canada has already published a list of products. Beef is on it, pork is on it. There's also other things. There's cakes, cookies, a lot of baked goods. There's some fresh fruits. I think cherries are on there. What they've tried to do is look at who have the congressmen and the senators been that have not supported resolving this case. And I think those congressmen and senators will find that there's things from their states that are on this list. There's also some things that are non-agriculture. There's mattresses and furniture, a few other things that are on there as well.
We're talking, potentially close to $1 billion, U.S. dollars, right?
Yeah, that's right. The impact on the Canadian cattle sector has been about $640 million per year. The Canadian hog sector estimated about $500 million. So that's from our side. The Mexican number is probably pretty close approaching that. So you put the two together, probably about $2 billion worth. And that was based on the rule that was in existence up until May. Certainly the impact has been quite pronouncedly different, increased since May. So that number is going to go up.
It's going to take a while to obviously resolve this. What sort of injury or what sort of structural changes are happening in Canada to the cattle industry because of this current rule?
Well, I think it's interesting, you know, that there have been these changes. If you compare today to pre-COOL, you know, we're down over 1 million head of cattle since 2006, 2007. So there's been about a 20% liquidation of the Canadian cow herd. The makeup of what we've been exporting to the U.S. has been down. Overall, actually, ironically, our cattle exports from 2013 were above 2012, but the makeup of it is very different. Normally, in any given year, about two-thirds, three-quarters of what we ship are finished cattle, fed cattle, ready for slaughter. And that portion has really dropped significantly. It's only maybe about a third last year. We sent a lot more feeder cattle and a lot more cull cows as well. So we're seeing those differences.
End of the day, what would be the best-case scenario for the Canadian Cattlemen's Association?
Well, you know, we've wanted to get back to what it is that North America does well, which is working together, working cooperatively, raising beef together, and in other sectors. That's what we do. We build things together, whether it's in agriculture or in other sectors. You know, you got raw materials, resources, inputs from one side, they cross the border. People's jobs depend on putting these things together and building them, and we're more competitive working together. I think all that COOL has really achieved is a reduction in the North American cattle herd and really created opportunities for other countries to ship more beef into North America.